Hey, and welcome to the Crosspoint Church Podcast. We are a church that is for the city in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. We are passionate about helping people become fully devoted followers of Jesus. So, if you're just joining us for the first time, we would love for you to check out our website, thecrosspointchurch.ca. There you can find ways to connect with us and see what's happening at Crosspoint. Now, let's listen to this week's Sunday message.
Is it done? We're good? Oh, we're good to go. Okay, sweet. Can't see anything. It's like awkward to stand like that. Okay, thank you. Good morning, Crosspoint Church. I'm going to start us off by taking you back to a time of darkness. The land was filled with evil, and everyone had abandoned God. The kings in the north and the south had betrayed the living Lord. They'd given themselves over to idols and false cultures. When troubles arise, they consulted witchcraft instead of the living God. Their people were in the darkness. The nations surrounding them conspired and made plans to attack them. Their swords sharpened, their armies mustered, and their horses ready. They were poised for the kill, and a dark shadow filled the land. The creep, death. Among these people, there was a small remnant, those faithful to God, but they too must have felt despair, hopelessness, and fear. The people around them had seen the miracles of God. They had heard the words from the prophets, and yet they turned away. One could only feel but hopeless. And those who turned away from God would look at the land, and they would see distress, hopelessness, and a fearful gloom as they were thrust into outer darkness. The question we may be asking from this is, how can these people escape this darkness? And hopefully, we can figure out, too, how we can navigate through these dark times. So for those who lived in the land of Judah, they had the prophet Isaiah to guide them and to tell them how they could be led out of the dark. If you want to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to begin today by reading verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light shone. The thing to point out is what helps these people is hope. And something, just to pause and point something out, these people had a hope that was in the past tense. If we read this passage, it talks actually about the past, but it's pointing towards the future. Well, we see that they have such an assurance in their hope as though it had already happened. What an incredible faith we could learn from. But what is this hope they have? Let's go further into verses 3-5. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with a joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod his oppressor you have broken is on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle to malt, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. This hope they have is all-encompassing. It represents the resolution of all their fears during this dark time. Their land will be full of crop, their joy increased, their enemies banished. and their hope is in this future. But hope doesn't just come. How is their hope to be delivered? And so that's where we come to our final portion of this passage, verses 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. See, this is actually their hope, the one to deliver them, the child to be born, the light in the darkness, the Messiah. This is the perfect king in the line of David, as they would have heard and read about this king to come, one who would fulfill every single promise in which they put their hope. And we see from this passage that the Messiah gave the people hope as a wonderful counselor who would lead them out of darkness and into light. If you don't know me, I'm Aiden Ross. I'm the youth coordinator here. And this is our first in the series, Light Breaks In. As we approach Advent, we are going to be looking at the four names given to the Messiah we find in verse 6. And today, we will look at Wonderful Counselor. So when I say counselor, what do you think? Maybe sometimes you think about sitting in an office across from someone you paid to give you therapy. Maybe it's that close friend who listens, consoles. Or simply, it could be a person in government. But what did Wonderful Counselor mean for those in the Old Testament? We see these names in verse 6 not only point to the Messiah, but more specifically, they point to the perfect king, the one who could deliver them from this time of darkness, the one who could banish the foreign nations and restore their nation to glory, an all-encompassing hope. But what would counselor, the specific word counselor, what does that mean to them? Well, counselor is a little different than we view it. It is someone who would be strategic, who was tactical in the ways of war, who would sit by the hand of a king or someone in power to offer advice. They'd be full of wisdom and knowledge to make the right decisions. See, in different translations, such as the New English translation, we see this is represented with different words. We see excellent strategist or wonderful advisor. Overall, this king has abilities for wisdom, strategy, and advising. This would be from him and him alone. These qualities of this counselor would be wonderful, excellent, and supernatural. Or one way you could say it is he would be a wonder counselor. This wonderful title describes his innate ability of supernatural knowledge and wisdom. And during this time, these people looking forward to this wonderful counselor, it would be welcomed. Surrounded by kings who are foolish and turn away from God, who are leading their nation into destruction, this would have been a refreshing change. So the Messiah, with the title of Wonderful Counselor, would have given the people hope. Now, this begs the questions we might all be asking. What about us? Where's our hope? What do we do in this time of darkness? As we began this sermon, I talked about their time, their darkness in the land. And honestly, it might feel the same. December is the literal darkest time of the year. And for many of us, it's a time of celebration. Christmas, seeing family, opening presents, practicing traditions of old. But for some, this time of year is marked by darkness, depression, and sadness. For some, they will not know how to survive the night as they find a place to sleep. Some can barely buy presents, let alone put food on their table. December is notorious for losing people who are close to us. And as we move through this season that is supposed to be one of celebration, we can't help but feel the pain that lingers. And this doesn't help with all the struggles that surround us in the world, politics, war, and other catastrophes. Sometimes it feels like we too live in a time of darkness, one without hope. But as you know, if you are a Christian, we do have an amazing hope, one that we can look forward to. For to us, a king is born, a bright light who enters the world, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who did not save his people from militaries or famine as they expected, but from a greater evil. By dying on the cross and being raised 3 days later, Jesus Christ defeated the ultimate evil, sin and death. But not only that, Jesus promised to return for eternity to rule as king. Now we see that Jesus is our hope and our light, a light that breaks through the darkness. And we're not going to dive too much into that today. That will be covered more during our Christmas Eve service. But there's still an unanswered question. In Isaiah, we notice that the Messiah gave the people hope as wonderful counselor who would lead them out of darkness and into light. So how does Jesus fulfill this role as wonderful counselor? Well, we see through divine wisdom and revelation and his intellect and teaching that Jesus indeed fulfills the wonder counselor role. But how is it besides Jesus's unlimited wisdom that we know he is this wonderful counselor? It reminds me of a story. Back when I was in high school, I took a fishing trip with some buddies I met at Bible camp. We went out by the Red Deer River deep in the woods at a tiny unfinished cabin. My buddies brought their grandfather, and he had an all-terrain vehicle, an ATV. And so we were a day into our trip, and we had to go back through the forest up this hill to grab our friend who's joining us later on. And so some of us got in this ATV, we left the grandfather behind, and we drove through the forest up the hill, and we picked up our friend. Now, it was nighttime, and we headed back, and we hit the tree line, and there was a fork in the road, and we went right, and that was a mistake. See, we had gone down the wrong path, and after that was turn after turn of going down forks. We had no clue. We had never seen them, and we at some point thought we were going in loops. And so at the point we had decided, okay, maybe we went the wrong way, let's turn around. Our ATV hit a tree and a branch had fell in between the driver's legs and had pressed the gas pedal. The ATV sped up and in the nick of time, he pulled it off and slammed on the brakes. We had immersed ourselves in these bushes and we looked over the hood, and only 4 feet away was swampy tree water. Now, the ATV was stuck. Like, there was no way to get it out. It was submerged in mud, and luckily we could get out, and we had to travel by foot. So we were able to backtrack, and with only our phones for light and no way to communicate, in the dark, we found the fork in the road. We remembered then the instructions of the Father and realized how foolish we were, but we were able to head back down the right path. And as we were traveling in the dark, alone, cold, scratched up, feeling a little dumb, we saw ahead a warm glow of a campfire. And we saw we had made it back. The grandfather there greeted us and was glad that we made it all right. The next day, we were able to get the ATV out of the bush, and we'd learned from our mistake. But Jesus is like the voice that guided us during that adventure. We should have indeed slowed down to remember the instructions the grandfather had given us. But see, Jesus guides those who listen. He wants us to be in his arms. And not just that, Jesus is like the fire. He's a light we look towards. He's the warmth we want to embrace. And he gives us hope that we have a bright future ahead. And so this is how he fulfills the role as wonderful counselor, by guiding, comforting, and strategizing. And this is all amazing. You're like, great, Jesus is the wonderful counselor. But what does that mean? Like, he's in heaven now. He is not with us present on earth. Well, Jesus, before he left and ascended to heaven, he promised to send us another counselor. This is the counselor of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verses 26 to 27, we see this as it says, "But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, from whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And so the Holy Spirit now is our present guide, the counselor who offers the wisdom of the wise King, the King of Jesus, the one who leads us through hard times and reminds us of the words of God when we need them. See, Jesus gives us hope through the Spirit as wonderful counselor who leads us out of darkness and into light. And as we described before, the wonderful counselor is not just one who consoles or guides us. He's also a wise tactician who points out the right path, who mentions many different things to us that guides us in life. But there's other things that counsel us. Honestly, from everywhere, ranging from what we listen to, what we watch, and who are our friends. The classic saying, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Really? So who do we listen to? How do we know? Well, Psalm 1 warns us about this. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." This sometimes is extremely hard for us to see. Who are the people who disguise themselves as our friend, who try to counsel us, who muck up our mind to confuse us? Well, this reminds me of a scene from Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings, written by J.R. Tolkien, had many metaphors about truths from the Bible. And so, focusing on his second book, The Two Towers, we come to a land called Rohan. And in Rohan, there was this king, Theoden. He's the creepy guy on the left, or your right, I guess, yeah, in the white hair. And see, he had an advisor beside him who was Grima Wormtongue. And Grima was influenced by evil and power and greed. And through dark powers, Grima Wormtongue was able to slowly take control of the king to do his bidding. This was so severe that Grima had sent away the king's sons, and he had turned his guards against him. Not just that, but Grima had aged Theoden so much that he no longer looked like himself. Now, we see later in the story, Gandalf the wizard and our other heroes arrive at the castle. Gandalf is able to see through this darkness that Grima has put over the kingdom. And he bypasses his defenses, and he is able to set free Theoden. And as we see, Theoden is restored to his youth. And Gandalf is then able to advise Theoden and return his land and free him from the evil corruption of his counselor, Grima Wormtongue. And see, this is sometimes our own struggle. We need to ask ourselves, who is speaking light and life in our darkness? Who seeks to lift us up and not tear us down? And to be honest, the Holy Spirit fills all the characteristics of a wonderful counselor. He is able to guide us. He has wisdom. And he also convicts us of what is right and what is wrong. And when I was writing this, I was thinking about the Holy Spirit, and I just couldn't help but feel a joy overcome me as I thought, you know, the Holy Spirit is my friend. He indeed wants what's best for me. And in reality, he doesn't ask for much. Indeed, he wants my devotion and love. But in return, the Holy Spirit gives me joy and peace and the gentle assurance that he is my wonderful counselor. And I know, hearing this sermon, it might still feel like hope is a distant thing, that life is bleak, especially during Christmas. It can be so easy to focus on the things of the dark and feel like we are drowning in unknown and fear. Some days we wish it would get better. Other days we just wish it would end. But if we take a moment, we breathe, we close our eyes, we focus on the wonderful counselor and invite him in, you'll feel the hand of God on your shoulder, and he will say, it will be all right. And it might not be okay tomorrow or this month or this year, but the reality is that the God of the universe has defeated what we cannot, death, and he forgives us from our sins. This is our hope. And if you remember at the beginning, the people had a hope that was written about the past, even though it spoke to the future, a hope that they had full assurance in. And we too have this hope. This is our faith in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so we too can have this faith, this assurance of hope that we can put in Jesus Christ. It is a hope that is found in our past, seen in the present, and draws us to the future. A threefold hope. A hope that relies on the past Jesus as he has already completed the good work. A hope now in the Holy Spirit as he guides us and counsels us. And a hope in the future in which God will be the perfect king to rule in light forever. As we wrap up, I want to give us some ways that we can walk through these dark times together. First of all, church, you're doing amazing. You are gathering. That's my first thing. We need to gather together, meet, counsel, console. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We indeed need to gather together, learn about the Bible, to practice our faith, but we also need to counsel one another. We need to gather as believers. We have this amazing opportunity as a community. Writing this, I thought, what is the difference between us and back then, the people of God? Like, we still are surrounded by evil. We're surrounded by darkness. Sometimes we don't feel hope. So what's the difference? What's this? It's the church, the gathering of people, centralized around the Holy Spirit and given to us by Jesus Christ. So please, don't take this community for granted. If you need help, reach out. And if you feel called to help, please do so. Because second, we need to counsel those who don't have hope. There are many people in this world who have no hope whatsoever. They wonder if there will ever be a light in this darkness. And as we know, that is in Jesus Christ. As Mike said, you can invite people to Christmas Eve. What an amazing time to share with them the hope. But for others who feel despair, maybe you need to invite them into your home. Who is that neighbor who doesn't have family to go to? Or that friend who feels alone? How can you bring them in for a meal to feel the warmth of this community that we have? And to ask them the question, where is your hope? And then after talking and discussing with them, you can then share the amazing news of Jesus. And finally, some of you need to hear this message. Some of you need to ask yourselves, do I need a wonderful counselor? I know, this is bittersweet. We're talking about a hope when everything seems gloomy. And you might think, when am I going to feel that hope? Or, yeah, right, how can I feel hope? Everything's too dark. I encourage you, think about the wonderful counselor. And sometimes we need to look in, and we need to set aside our pride and our own desires and our will to do everything ourselves. We need to give it to the wonderful counselor. And maybe this is the question you need to ask yourself. Do I need someone to guide me? Do I need that counselor? If this question's hard to ask, please ask for prayer around you. Or at the end of the service, you can come over to the cross and ask for prayer from our prayer team. So, as I conclude, and as the worship band can come back up, I want us to take this time during this final song to reflect. I want us to take this moment I described earlier of the hand of God. Take this moment to breathe, be still, and give God, the wonderful counselor, your deepest pains, griefs, and anguish. And if this is not what you want to do, please pray for those who need this amazing warm blessing of the hope found in Jesus Christ. So, let me pray, and then we'll turn to a time of reflection and worship. Pray with me now. Almighty God, our wonderful counselor, we ask to feel your already present Spirit, the Spirit who guides us and consoles us. May we give you all the burdens of our heart and surrender ourselves to you. Times are hard, but I pray that we can put our trust in you, O God. Give us eyes to see the wonder of your love, a love that breaks evil and saves us from sin. We thank you, God, for the faith we have that is our assurance and the hope that only comes from you. Amen.
Well, will you sing with us once more?
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we look full in here. grace. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Well, Cross Point Church, as we end every Sunday, I want to remind you of who you are. You are the people of God, called by God, the wonderful counselor, into his redemptive mission in the world. So be who you are. And if you need prayer, please come to the cross over here. Have a good morning.
Hey, and welcome back. Thanks for listening to this Sunday's message. We hope that we've helped you in your spiritual journey and that you're drawing closer to God. At Cross Point, we gather on Sundays at 10 a.m. in Northeast Edmonton and throughout the week in something we love to call home groups. Home groups are encouraging and transformational communities for people just like you. We believe that the journey of faith is done together. So we hope that you'll connect with us at thecrosspointchurch.ca. Now, let me remind you of who you are. You are the people of God, called by God into his redemptive mission in the world. So be who you are.